Big cities are vibrant hubs for culture and industry, or dirty, congested, crime-ridden warrens. As the world population passes 7 billion, economists, environmentalists, and social scientists are rethinking the role of the city in global society. Economist Edward Glaser believes cities are the best places to live.
Cities are so fascinating because they play to mankind's greatest gift, which is our ability to learn from other people.
Since ancient times, he says, cities have attracted smart people and enabled them to work collaboratively to advance society. But it wasn't always a smooth road.
In the 1970s, it looked as if globalization, new technologies, the death of distance was making our older cities obsolete. After all, the garment industry was fleeing New York. It looked like history itself was telling New York City to drop dead.
Over the past three decades, many cities have been revitalized, not just despite globalization and new technologies, but, as Glaser explains, because of them.
What these new forces have done is they've increased the returns to new ideas, to being smart. Because now, if you've got a new idea, you can manufacture it on the other side of the planet. You can take advantage of some new market opportunity in India or Indonesia or sub-Saharan Africa. These trends have also made cities more important. Because cities are, at their heart today, engines of innovation, forges of human capital.
In a new book, Triumph of the City, Glaser takes readers on a world tour of urban success stories, from Boston and London to Tokyo, Bangalore, and Kinshasa. He explains how cities are places of pleasure and production. Restaurants, supermarkets, theaters, and museums create job opportunities and vibrant economies.
If you look across the world, the countries where more than half of the people live in urban areas are more than four times richer on average than the countries where less than half of the people live in urban areas.
Even the pockets of poverty that are part of the modern urban landscape, Glaser says, are signs of the power of cities.
Cities don't make people poor. They attract poor people. And they attract poor people by delivering a path out of poverty into prosperity, a chance to partner with people who have different skills, access to world markets, access to capital, that enables poor people, some of them, not all of them, to actually find a way forward.
Concentrating population in a city, Glaser says, is better for the environment.
There's significantly less carbon usage in cities, and there are two reasons for that. One of which is less driving. They're, you know, more likely to take public transportation, and because when they drive shorter distances. And the second is that people in cities, they occupy smaller homes than people living in rural areas.
To multiply that effect, The Economist would like to see even more people move to cities, where towering skyscrapers would provide energy-efficient, affordable housing.
Building up is an option to avoid building out.
The research seems to suggest that doesn't necessarily require tall buildings at all. It might only require four, six, eight stories, something like that, to get very good urban densities and to have a very vital urban environment.
But architect and urban designer Michael Mahaffey says encouraging high-density living doesn't always improve a society's quality of life.
There's a point where more density doesn't really get you very much. I mean, it can be very helpful in some circumstances. They can be very destructive in some circumstances. I think we should really focus on what urban living gives to us in the network of relationships, not so much an abstract number like density and you know, let's just make it as absolutely high as possible and let's have tall buildings, because once you do that, you start to kick in a lot of negative effects from density.
Mahaffey, a proponent of compact, walkable, transit-served communities, notes that big city life is not for everyone.
What we really should be doing is thinking about a continuum of different areas of density and more efficient areas clustered around transit-oriented development, and frankly, different kinds of environments for different stages of life and different opportunities. You know, not everybody's going to want to live in a super high density city. And so I think people are from all political persuasions and all walks of life really are getting more interested in more connected urban environments. And that isn't necessarily just big cities. That's also towns with vibrant downtowns to them and real urban environments of various kinds.
21st century cities are being reshaped as energy, the environment, and the economy become more vital considerations in urban planning. For writer Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News, Washington.